City, who had either risen earlier or not slept at all, brought Palman a kimono-like garment to wear. Breakfast was not to his taste. I found the gelatinous-looking plants from their planet impossible to eat, and I tried the complicated arrangement of small containers from which I was supposed to sip. I was curious about the contents of these gadgets, so I started to sip at random. They all had a wonderful time just laughing like children about my lousy behavior. The wife of one of the astronauts showed me how to do it. Nevertheless, I left practically with an empty stomach. The eye. One of the most remarkable discoveries for Palman was the absence of doors, locks, keys or rooms, such as we know them, though private quarters are alluded to later. No mention is made of toilet arrangements. Everything, even the commanding cell, called Nano or the Eye, formed part of the biological structure of the craft. There was not one straight line, so to speak, in the whole spacecraft, nor were the circular forms exactly circular. At all times, the eye of the craft is part of this body. This center unit of the craft was so geared with other instruments that its power of involvement was complete. In other words, the eye center unit is some kind of an activated memory, a transmitting and receiving center. Similar to our brains, I was able to experience later how this individual brain of the saucer became part of the giant system of cosmic generator brains and, in particular, how this great individual unit had to be considered a minute part of the great memory computer on the home planet itself. The home planet. At all times, Palman was encouraged by his hosts to ask questions and to give them his impressions. Observation post. He was shown images of the home planet, in a solar system located towards the center of our galaxy. He learned later, such as methods of transportation, food processing installations, biological machinery and various instruments. I even listened to a concert, and invaded some of their homes, he claimed. I use the word invaded deliberately, because the involvement brought about by the eye makes one feel as if one is actually going to these places. Going to the concert, for example, or visiting friends in their own home. Everybody looked happy in this utopian society. Everybody seemed to be smiling, young and old. There didn't appear to be many unhealthy people about, but the generator was drained on to what they call health centers, and I saw that even patients there were smiling. Linked with the all-pervading air of happiness on Itibiratu was an atmosphere of calmness and serenity. No one seemed out of patience. Nobody appeared to be in a hurry. Palman liked what he saw of the aliens' architecture. Most of their homes were built along river banks and the sides of lakes and other waterways. Their architecture was unlike any I had seen on Earth, except in futuristic exhibitions. They delighted in dominant colors. The factory planet. What intrigued Palman most about Itibiratu was that it was fused with two very small satellite planets. One of these smaller planets functioned as a giant biological artificial heart, pumping power into the fused planet, while the other acted as a factory. The Itibirians, we are told, separate all artificial and mechanical working machinery from their normal, domestic surroundings. Through the eye generator I was able to peer right into the bowels of this factory planet. To me, it looked for all the world like an opened up octopus. The vast number of tentacles were, I suppose, the channels and cables tapping the power sources. It was from the factory that my friends had a portrait of the extraterrestrial lady, initially encountered by Ludwig Palman in India in 1964. Painted by the Polish painter, Vera Waleska, and commissioned by Palman. City had unusually large eyes, peculiar fingertips, and sometimes wore a delicate blue veil, depicted here. She is shown surrounded by some of the plants that allegedly were being hybridized by the extraterrestrials, and, top right, the three disc-shaped spacecraft based at the plantation. Unable to reproduce on canvas City's extremely unusual clothes, as described by Palman, Waleska painted her in the 17th century French style. We shall never be able to experience what these conditions really mean, as our palates are not as sensitive as theirs. having stopped eating solid food, having forgotten how to kill an animal and eat it. They also have entirely different nerves. No more war on human beings or animals, except in self-defense. They have become planters, scientists, explorers, teachers, religious philosophers, religio-philosophical, biologists, et. Televisual communication and sport. During Palman's third day on board the spacecraft at the plantation, he observed Xity talking to her parents on a two-way communication system similar to a television. On touching it, however, he discovered that, just like the spacecraft itself, it seemed to be of a biophysical nature. The conversation was in the Itibi Ryan's own language, which Palman described as a rather high-pitched melodic whispering, very charming and, with humorous undertones. He was also able to see Xity's parents' home and others in the neighborhood. At one time, Xity also spoke to a neighbor of her parents, and the eye generator had gone directly into the inside of her house, also very charmingly decorated with symbols similar to those I saw within the spacecraft. To Palman's surprise, Xity then switched channels, as it were, to a sporting event. I must say it was one of the hardest games I ever saw in my entire life. I understood that the huge amount of players, perhaps 7,000 young men, were engaged in a giant size ball game, where a final selection of the most able and strongest also ended with the victory of the most intelligent team. To play this substitute for war, the young Itibi Ryans used several hundred computerized, electronically controlled gadgets, very similar to multicolored footballs. I understood that not the referee, but the different balls, perhaps also interconnected with each other, have to decide the game. To me, the whole thing looked like football on a giant chessboard, played rapidly over a playing field of about 5 square miles. Decisions were made by those having reached a higher commanding status because of bravery and intelligent behavior. The hardness and often brutal behavior of many lower rank players really surprised me. It seemed to be absolutely contrary of what I had thought about the Itib Ryans so far. I asked Xity about it. She explained that these events have prevented war and bloodshed for many thousands of years. And yet, these games, she said, made it possible to keep the inborn and instinctive fighting condition of mankind intact. There is also the genetic reason to keep fit, to be healthy through hardship and sporting bravery. Space-time technology. There were 3 spacecraft at the Miriam base, of which only one carried a crew. The other 2 were uninhabited supply craft. I must emphasize, Palman pointed out, that only science fiction calls spaceships flying saucers. That is a solecism of fantasy. I doubt if spaceships actually fly in the accepted sense of the word. They are propelled by cosmic waves. A minimum fleet of 27 to 30 ships are needed for operating within our solar system. The power units, or the carriers, are at all times above the control and supply ships. It is the carriers that arrange for the power to be switched on or off. The 3-dimensional fusion of the carriers accords with the cosmic condition of the 3rd dimension itself, and this makes it possible to reach a target at a very high speed, much faster, indeed, than the speed of light. Several hundred thousand years ago, Palman was informed, the Itibi Ryans had been obliged to evacuate their dehydrating planet of origin Itibi Ra, an evacuation involving several trips to and from the old planet to move people, animals, insects, plants, biological machines, recording devices, musical instruments, and so on. Indeed, wrote Palman, only the necessity to survive had forced the Itibi Ryan scientists to think about traveling onto another planet and to create the necessary means of transportation. Palman's elaboration of these necessary means is hard to follow, and harder still to swallow. Only because of their highly advanced understanding of all life-creating ways of nature were they able to create and test a series of dimensional filtering and prismatic-type life-receiving space batteries, reacting to the intercosmic forces of color, light, temperature, time, and other cosmic waves. The Itibi Ryans created a new, fascinating interconnection of cosmic batteries, reaching the dimensional scientific switch from receiving to sending cosmic forces. In other words, instead of waves being received, activated and returned, they were able to move with the activated return waves themselves. Assuming Palman's story to be neither the product of a deluded mind nor an outright hoax, such a vague elaboration might well be due to his own failure to grasp what was told to him. The biological structure of the spacecraft makes it impossible, even for a technically trained man, brains, our nerves, transmit orders to our bodies to move heavy weights. Yes, they tried to explain. But I do not even know how a television circuit works, much less shall I ever understand this. A paradox. It was implied that ordinary human beings were as yet not conditioned to accept or mix freely with the Eta-B Rions. Yet, paradoxically, the local Indian peasants not only mixed freely with, but were employed by the extraterrestrials to work on their plantations. As Palman explained, these Indians were employed on very humdrum tasks, keeping the area free of insects, because, despite the protective covers, insects did manage to find their way into the seedlings and saplings. The Indians looked upon their employers as light-skinned foreigners from another part of the world. I doubt if they gave a second thought to the rather unusual chin formation of the Eta-B Rions. In any case, the simple Amazon Indians would not have believed that people could come from other planets. They would have rejected the story in exactly the same way as most of us would reject the idea of several men having been landed on the moon, if we had not seen it on TV. At first, Satura told Palman, the local Indians looked upon us with some caution. But then Xiti and I began to heal their wounds, and cure their sick. They soon came to accept us. On one occasion, Palman claims to have witnessed a group of Indians alighting from a spacecraft. Out stepped the most audacious group of wild-looking but smiling savages, followed by a bunch of serious E2B Ryan explorers. There was plenty of excitement, but what really made me shake my head was this: these, perhaps the most feared man-eaters of the endless forests, were laughing and giggling like little girls. What an excursion it must have been. The Eta-B Ryans had known these men already since their first landing near Alpaca. The amazing thing I discovered was the age of these Indians, all over 50 years, looking as healthy and young as those Indians being only 20 or 25. Another controversy. Had they been used as guinea pigs by the Eta-B Ryans? Lanzilin. Though reluctant to talk about the possible use of the Indians as guinea pigs, Xiti was more forthcoming when discussing certain discoveries her people had made regarding ancient South American civilizations. These discoveries were allegedly made during advanced forms of excavation in certain areas, while the Indians stood guard near strategic waterways and swamp passages. The Eta-B Ryans had located the remains of a huge, long-lost city, given the name of Linilan, buried beneath a layer of 7 feet of tropical growth. There, inside a temple, they discovered a huge pre-Columbian symbol, which they said proved that many thousands of years ago another extraterrestrial civilization had first landed on Earth. Xiti showed Palman a similar symbol on one of the control panels of the spacecraft. A fruitful trip. By this time, Ludwig Palman was becoming increasingly concerned about his business affairs. A backlog of work awaited him in Lima. Yet so fascinating was the time he spent with the Etibirans that when invited by them for a trip to Colombia, on the 20th of February 1967, he accepted immediately. Another thing that bothered him was how Satura and Xiti, and others of their race, managed to travel around various countries without some sort of passports. What would happen if one of their men or women was arrested? Little did I know, wrote Palman. Besides the fact that Xiti used a perfectly imitated Argentine passport, that all Etibirans know exactly what to do and what not to do. For instance, in many countries, it is useless to show a passport if that passport does not show an entry stamp from the airport police. On the trip to Colombia, Satura decided not to use passports at all, but to proceed at night and only stay a very limited time and at a place where the chances of detection were absolutely out of the question. Shortly after 22:00, the craft departed for Colombia. As Palman described the trip, the extremely short crisscross over great altitude and distance was a disappointment. Exactly like on the first flight near Huancayo to the Mirim River base, I did not notice, see, hear or feel anything at all. But I did observe, and with the utmost interest, the immediate and very clever control craft protection carried out in the darkness of what I was able to understand to be a huge delta swamp of the Magdalena River south of Barranquilla, on the Caribbean Sea coastline of Colombia. Within seconds the spacecraft had covered itself with a special liquid coming out of a million pores which, besides being a perfect element of camouflage and natural coloring, also served as a bacteria and insect repelling agent. This only lasted about 5 to 10 minutes. When finished, we immediately embarked in two very comfortable and very flat speed boats, which, on both sides, and on the bottom, were propelled by tiny and silent generators. There was no motor at all but a great number of their jets, working in absolute silence. I figured the speed, at about 30 to 35 miles per hour, and the trip itself lasted well over an hour. I was only able to speak to Mr. Satura, as Xity had not received clearance to join the party and all the other crew members did not carry language computers. The group reached Barranquilla and found an isolated spot on the embankment. Most of the Itibirans wanted to rest and observe the neighborhood, but Satura invited Palman to see the nightlife of Barranquilla, Colombia's largest coastal town. Naturally, it was the fruit above all else which attracted Satura. Satura displayed a naivety that was astounding for one so astute as himself, wrote Palman, who had given his friend some Peruvian money to purchase samples. He inspected the fruit, turning and prodding, but he did not buy anything. Instead, he offered a stall seller money merely for the privilege of inspecting the stock, smiled politely, then moved on to the next stall. Each stallholder accepted the money with alacrity. I suppose they looked on the money as a tip given to them by an eccentric foreigner. Palman, meanwhile, having been starved of real food for several days, devoured a grilled half-chicken, upsetting Satura in the process. I knew what he was thinking, that it was a crime to kill a bird just for a human being to eat it. At that moment, I must confess, I was out of sympathy with Itibirian philosophy. Meanwhile, another member of the crew, Mr. Huia, second in command of Satura's spacecraft, appeared on the scene, and the trio set off for another market. Examining arguably closely, Satura asked Palman for a detailed description of this, to him, unknown fruit. Having satisfied himself that the fruit could be cultivated, some was bought. An hour was spent looking for a specimen of the arguably plant, but to no avail, so the following morning Palman went back to Barranquilla, where he was directed to the town of Santa Marta, across the river. Here, his search eventually bore fruit when he located some cuttings, which were handed to Satura at the rendezvous point the following night. During the trip, Palman had bought himself a new camera, with a view to taking some photographs of the Itibirans, their plantation and their craft. But it was not to be. As I feared, Satura took a special interest in the camera, wrote Palman. He told me about Matmanya, the science of soul based on ancient beliefs. Not that my friends believe in reincarnation, but, definitely, they do not care for photos and pictures because of certain implications. I understood that, besides certain security restrictions, they simply do not care about their looks. They are devoid of all vanity, pride or feeling of superiority, during all the time, and particularly where Xity was concerned, I never saw them use a mirror. Satura confiscated the camera until Palman returned to Lima a week later. Back at the plantation. At the Mirim River plantation, Palman was show how the Itibirian botanists went about their research and cultivation work. The plantation itself was laid out under huge green protective sheets. Air filters and humidifiers had been installed at strategic points so that, no matter what the weather, the plant biologists could always have controlled weather conditions inside the flavor station. The main path through the plantation complex separated the station into two sections, each of which was made self-contained by means of colored dividing sheets that were rigged tree high. In front of the actual biology research laboratory was a wing consisting of several large tents, where many vegetable guinea pigs, which had been brought from Itibiratu, had been transplanted, and had then been used as required for grafting onto samples of earth vegetation, in order to obtain as fine a strain of individual plant life as it was possible to get by uniting the best of earth types with the best of the Itibiratu types. The biology research laboratory was a series of interconnecting marquees, stretching for some 350 feet, and was some 60 feet wide. It was divided off into experimental bays, rather like the operating rooms of hospitals. In these bays, the finest instruments were used to dissect the cells of plants, the veins and stems were put under close scrutiny. X-ray pictures were taken, not the normal plate-type X-rays but a continuous record, rather like a roll of film. The plant surgeons could watch on separate left and right-hand panels let into the wall. On these panels, the eye computer projected a continuous report of the dissection as it proceeded. These television-type panels were studied throughout the entire process by special observation officers, who indicated their opinions to a chief scientific officer who controlled the actual work itself. The biologists sat at their work in the oriental manner. Relaxation. Palman was invited to visit the bathing tents on the plantation. The Itibiruans, he learned, bathed at least twice a day, before going to work and when work was finished in the late afternoon. Their bathing habits are a combination of the Finnish and Japanese, claimed Palman. The normal bath is like the Finnish sauna unit, and they have both wet and dry bath units. Because of their lack of inhibitions about nakedness, men and women bathe together. I noticed that Xiti, who is meticulous about her personal hygiene, was scrubbing furiously as if she had done filthy work in the laboratories. I remarked upon this, and she frowned a little. "Can you not smell?" she demanded. Then she told me to my face that I had eaten meat. I laughed like an idiot. On two occasions I had eaten chicken in Barranquilla. Xiti grinned and pulled a face at me. The domestic arrangements on board the spacecraft also drew Palman's admiration. The dining quarter and health lounges were bright with decorations. Lovely, soft divans and deep cushions, gay with floral patterned covers, invited relaxation after the day's work. I admired the way in which the women, some being the wives of the astronauts, who shared similar jobs to the men all day, could shed their technical role during off-duty hours and revert to an essential feminism such as one experiences in Japan. They even took it upon themselves to see to the domestic side of the expedition. Religion and societal development. Asked about their religion, or cosmophilosophy as Palman called it, Xiti and Satura said that their people make no distinction between God and nature, referring to them, in English at least, as God-nature. Disregarding the laws of nature, said Satura, is disregarding the laws of God, because God is nature and nature is God. 21 The value of religion, Palman was told, should depend on the active role it is able to play in civilization's progressive and futuristic pattern. Regarding the future of our society, Satura predicted that a new social and political structure would be brought about within 100 years. As Palman described it, I was very much surprised when Satura told me about a great feeling of friendship which shall come about over many nations on our planet because of a unique political situation I never believed possible. He mentioned that the whole planet Earth, within 100 years from now, will benefit from the friendship he predicted between the United States and Russia. 22, Satura's prediction about the superpowers has come to pass. Let us hope for the predicted era of friendship on a wider scale, health and longevity. According to the Itibiruans, Earth is one of a number of planets, referred to as cancer planets, which are particularly prone to cancer. In addition to the known or suspected causes, they laid the blame on our modern, artificial and materialistic lifestyle, citing the lack of cancer among the Amazon Indians, as well as on other, sometimes inherited factors, such as fear, stress and sexual repression. Added Palman, they also know that we suffer as a result of many mental disorders, besides our many physical disorders, like blood and respiratory disorders. They have seen for themselves that our stomachs, hearts and glands are not working like theirs, that 80% of us are suffering from some kind of constant tension and of what they know as unnatural irregularity, leading to cancer. 23. Satara claimed to be 250 years old, measured in our terms, a modest age when compared with Walter Ritzius Alien, who communicated that his race lived up to 100 times that of Earth people. Compared with ordinary human beings, Satara would have been in his early 40s. He expected to die sometime between the years 2210 and 2220.24. Overpopulation was given as one of the main causes of misery on planet Earth. Satara and Xiti emphasized the need for both political and religious leaders to impose the strictest regulations to control our present growth of population. Love and marriage. On Itibi Ratu, couples fall in love, marry and have children as we do, but, Palman was informed, marriages normally break up soon after the children enter an educational center when they are about 6 years old. The 7-year itch, it seems, is not restricted to Earthlings. At first shocked by this custom, Palman came to appreciate the fact that, if monogamy were practiced on Itibi Ratu, some marriages would have to last for 400 years or more. Sam pointed out that, although incompatibility between marriage partners was normal after the 7-year period, compatibility, resulting in long-term unions, did occur. Such unions did not require the sanction of the equivalent of a registry office ceremony, or even a formal exchange of vows. Satara's current union, with a woman from another planet, he told Palman, had lasted for 90 years. Having also learned from Satara about the erotic behavior of the Itibirans, Palman had initially considered including some details in his book, but the publisher had advised against it. Actually, all I wanted to do was to describe the very healthy and natural behavior of another civilization, he explained. Yet Palman, too, imposed censorship. There are matters on which I have had to maintain my privacy, he wrote earlier, seemingly contradicting his later remark. As far as I am concerned, and especially as far as the sexual habits of the Itibirans are concerned, I have tried to reveal exactly nothing, and I believe I do have the right to do this, simply because our own sexual habits are far from free. 28. On the 26th of February 1967, Satara sadly informed Palman that his people had received orders to evacuate their plantations in South America. The following day, he was taken back by spacecraft to the Peruvian Highland Lake where he had originally been picked up. News. Nearly 2 years passed. Palman bought a property in El Salvador, Central America, a lakeside fishing and hunting lodge affording magnificent views of the surrounding scenery, including the San Vicente volcano. He began writing the manuscript of a book describing his claimed experiences with the Itibirans. I had lost some of my diaries and it wasn't an easy job to find dates and names. Certain places and words I had synchronized by sound I could not write down in human language at all, he explained. I simply had to use similar words and sentences so far as the dialogue with these people is concerned. 30. The Itibirans. He further explained, do not use letters or print. As to use of the Egyptian word Ra, for example, which surprised Palman, this was taken as further evidence that the Itibirans had been on Earth thousands of years ago. About 2 weeks after taking over the property, on the 15th of January 1969, he felt a burning sensation from the ring Satara had given him, the inset flashing and gleaming. Later, having taken his small motor boat to a sandy beach near the Isla del Alta, He noticed that the normally placid waters of the lake were ruffled by several huge concentric circles. There could be but one explanation, he wrote. Somewhere near at hand, my friends from Itibiratu had effected a landing. Shortly afterwards he encountered the figure of Satu Ra, sitting motionless on a rock. He was inexpressibly sad.